chapter 11. I taught this same message in a Sunday school about a month ago, so for those of you that were there, I'm sorry. You're going to hear it again, but I feel like this, God just laid it on my heart. This brings healing. This message helped me through a dark time that has grown into the darkest time of my life. So I want to share it with you guys because I just want healing. I'm going to be completely honest. I'm going to be a mess this whole time. I'm just going to be real the whole time too. That's what I like about our church. I like we can be real. We don't hide from issues or problems. I'm glad you guys are here. I just want you guys to know that I love each and every one of you. I'm glad you guys are part of my church family. So if we start in verse 1, John chapter 11, let me pray real quick before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the crowd that you've brought before us, God. I just pray. I thank you for us being able to praise your name and lift you high. Thank you for saving us. We didn't deserve it. God, I just pray you use me right now. God, just don't let me say anything of my mind. But God, let it be your spirit that uses me this whole time. God, we're hurting. We need you. God, your spirit, you said, is the comforter. And God, we need you to comfort us. So be with us in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Starting in verse 1, John chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. That comes in the next chapter. Therefore, the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Kind of keep an eye on verse 4. We'll come back to it later. Verse 5 is, I got 3 points that if you tell yourself when you go through a dark time, something you can tell yourself every day, just 3 points. The first point is in verse 5. Now, Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. First point I want you to know is that Jesus loves everyone involved. Jesus loves you even though you're hurt. Jesus loves the one, if someone has hurt you, he loves them too. He loves the people around you that are hurting with you. I want you to know the first point that you can tell yourself in a dark time in your life is the God of the universe loves me. He loves me enough to die for me. Even knowing everything that's going to come after this, John puts it, verse 5, Jesus loves everyone involved. Keep that in mind. Verse 6, so when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. We read verse 6 again, it doesn't really seem logical. Jesus hears that Lazarus is sick and dying. And what does Jesus do? He stays 2 more days in the place where he was. He doesn't go heal. He doesn't go directly to Lazarus. But he stays 2 more days there, knowing what's going to take place, knowing that Lazarus will die. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you are going there again. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Jesus knows at this point that Lazarus' sisters, Martha and Mary, are in a very dark place because Lazarus is dead right now. He says, Lazarus sleeps, and I go and may wake him up. And Jesus talks about the light in this series of verses. This is a callback to John chapter 1, where Jesus is talking about in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's Jesus. But verse 5 has really been something that's caught my eyes about a year. It says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it, cannot overcome it. And that's Jesus. The point I want to make to that is we have a God that does not shine his light from afar off into our darkness, but we have a God who's in the darkness with us. Who is the light that the darkness cannot comprehend and it cannot overcome, our God? Verse 12, then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, so to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Verse 17, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to, let's talk about verse 20 real quick. So Jesus is headed that way, and Martha hears and sees Jesus, and Martha immediately goes and runs to Jesus. And when in a dark place, that's the right thing to do, is run to Jesus. But there's people, and I'll be honest, I was this, that was like Mary, who Mary sat in the house. She didn't want to go see Jesus. She was hurt with Jesus because Jesus didn't do it her way. Jesus hasn't done it my way recently. And I was mad at him for a while. I didn't talk to him. I didn't want to pray. I didn't want to read my Bible. I was hurt towards him. But God can handle your anger and your hurts. He's still God. Verse 21, now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. It's powerful in that. She's saying, God, you didn't do it my way. You didn't bring the healing when I asked you. You didn't bring the healing the way that I wanted. If you had been here in my mess, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. But the strength of Martha to still say, but even I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you. She's saying, I still trust you. I still know who you are. You're still God. We can be that way in life. We can say, God, if you were here, things would have been different. If you would have done it my way, I wouldn't be this sad. But we can also say, but God, I can still trust you and I can still love you. Regardless if God does anything for us the rest of our lives, he's done enough at Calvary. But it's by the grace of God he allows us to have those joy moments in life. Verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of God, who has come into this world. As powerful in those two verses, 25 and 26, that through our belief in Jesus, that through us confessing that he is Lord and confessing our sins to him, we can have eternal life. How great a God we serve that even in our death we can find victory. That those of us that have passed on from this world to the next are now alive more than ever. They're not sick anymore. They don't fight the troubles of this world anymore. Even though we miss them and want them here with us, we can have peace knowing that they're with God because they put their belief and faith in Jesus Christ. And because we've done that, we can have eternal life with them. We'll see them again one day. Verse 28. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. I love these two verses right here. It reminds me of being a kid. You know, when you're younger and your parents tell you directly, Don't do a certain thing. Don't do this. Don't do that. And you do it anyways. Your first instinct is like Mary. She didn't want to run to Jesus because she was hurt. Just like whenever we're kids, we hurt, but we don't want to run to our parents. We're expecting to find the I told you so. But we don't find that. Jesus calls to her. Well, Mary said, the teacher has come and is calling for you. Even in the hurt, the teacher is calling for you. If you were hurt today and you were mad at God, I want you to know he is calling for you and he still loves you even though you're hurt. It's just like a parent that you run to. Even though you're hurt, your parents are there to hug you and pick you back up. They're not there to tear you down. And God is your father. So even in the hurt, even in the anger, even though you shake your fist at him, he still calls for you. And because of this, she rises up and goes and runs to him. Verse 30, now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came there, when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Same thing that Martha had said. Now, verse 33 through 35 is where we get my next point. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said, Lord, come and see. There's verse 35, Jesus wept. We have, first point is that Jesus loves us. We have a God who loves us. And the second point is that we have a God who hurts with us. That in your hurt, we have a God who hurts with you. The God of the universe is there with you. I was hurt really bad one day, and I was at my grandparents' house, and I was crying. And then my granddad started crying, and he looked at me, and he said, "Do you understand why I'm crying, Eli?" He said, "Because that's a piece of me sitting right there. And it hurts me knowing that a piece of me is hurting. I want you to know today that's God. That it hurts him to see you hurt. He doesn't like your heartbreak. He doesn't like when you're upset. He doesn't like when you're crying. But he's the type of God that will cry with you and sit there with you and help you through it. That the God of the universe will sit and hurt with you is beyond my mind." Verse 36. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." Verse 36 is key. I used to think I was this spiritual giant Christian that nothing could shake me. I used to pray, I said, "God, if you can take anything from me, and it won't shake me. Nothing can, I'm too strong, God." Until recently, where things had not been going my way, and I realized how wrong I was. I thought I would be like Job, but I had the wrong idea of Job. I thought being someone like Job meant losing something, but just walking on no matter what and not letting it affect you. But that's not what Job did. Job grieved for weeks, for months. He tore his clothes. He poured ashes on his head. That was the sign of grieving in those days. He hurt, and more importantly, he let people see that he hurt. It's okay for people to see that you're hurt. We can act like we want to be strong, but that's not how it is. That's not the right way to go about it. You need to hurt when the time is to hurt. It's not being strong for someone that's not the way to go about it. But you can get with someone and say, "I'm hurting just like you're hurting, so let's hurt together." Let those people in your life, when you're going through a tough time, see how you're hurting. See what it meant to you. Because that's going to be key for the next thing that happens. Verse 38. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they might believe that you sent me." Now, when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound, hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." That's my final point. So we got our first point, that Jesus loves everyone involved. The second point is Jesus hurts with you. The last point is that Jesus is working for good. He is constantly working for good. It does not stop. It's not in his nature to not do good, because he is good. He's a good God, and he's always working even though we can't see it. So we go back to verse 4, and in verse 4, it even tells us what's going to happen. Jesus says, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." As humans, our sole purpose, if we really get down to the core purpose and what our mission is here, it is to glorify God. And all things that you do glorify God. Even in this dark time in their life, they're glorifying God. See God in that? And then we go to verse 15, and Jesus said, "I'm glad for your sake that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." See, Jesus stayed 2 days at a time when we thought the healing was needed right then. But because of that, he told his disciples, he says, "I'm glad I wasn't there, that you may believe." And we flip back over to another verse, to verse 42. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I say this, that they might believe you sent me. And all this leads into my final statement. But before we get there, just know you can see throughout this that the plan was never shaken. That God's plan was never... It wasn't this moment when he got back and was like, Lazarus is dead. He wasn't supposed to. I was supposed to be back in time. This is wrong. It all was supposed to happen the way it did, even though through the hurt they couldn't see it. Even though our hurt, we can't see it, how it's part of this. But even though we're hurt, there is hope. In verse 44, I find comfort because the people that we've lost, people that mean a lot to me. Verse 44 ends with a powerful statement, lose him and let him go. Even though those people passed on from this life to the next, even though their physical bodies have passed away, while they were in the grave, Jesus said to the grave, loose them and let them go, because you have no hold on them, because they're my kids, because they're my children. I overcame sin, death, and the grave, that way that they won't stay there, but they'll be with me for eternity. That I'd save them from this awful, evil world, that they'll never hurt again. My uncle is burying his wife today. She battled Alzheimer's for 7 years. She died, she was only 58. She got diagnosed with Alzheimer's when she was about 51, 52. That's way too early for Alzheimer's, and they're struggling with the question now. They struggle with the thing, there's more time. I feel like there's more time. And in me, myself, over the past month, the thing that's crossed my mind, I didn't feel like it was time. I felt like we had more time. But God said no. And even though it hurts me today that some people that I loved aren't here, I've got a peace knowing that they're not in the grave. That this world and the sin of this world and the evilness does not have a hold on them anymore. That they're not hurting anymore. My Aunt Robin is not hurting anymore. She doesn't sit there trapped in her own mind, not being able to speak or walk. She's with Jesus today. And even though it's hard, we know she's in a better place. My final point, verse 45, it kind of goes with the last point. God is working for good in you. Let's read verse 45. The many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. My final point is that not only is God working in you through this difficult time, but God is working through those around you in this difficult time. People around you who are not Christian are seeing you walk through this and saying, let's see, how do they handle this? How do they handle this terrible moment? How are they walking forward? How are they going to make it through this? And your response is key to that. It's okay to let them see you hurt. Let them know it meant a lot to you. But it's through that hurt that when Jesus brings the healing, they can see you a week, a month, a year later. And they can say, I thought that was going to kill you, but here you are with peace. Here you are smiling and laughing. Here you are loving. Here you are still serving God despite he didn't do it your way. And they're going to want that peace. So not only is God working in you, but he's working in others as well. And I'm being honest. It's been a rough month for all of us. And we don't see the plan, but it's okay. We don't have to know the plan, but we just have to know that God is in control. I want to tell you a story, if I can make it through it. Recently, a woman that I loved passed away. Her name was Renee. And I'd only known her for about a year. She had COVID and passed away quickly. And I struggled the same questions, that there was more time. I didn't feel like it was the time to take her, but for some reason God did. And I don't understand why, but I have peace in it. And I'll share with you why. About 2 weeks before everything happened here, Renee came to church here. And that day she said that she rededicated her life to Jesus. And because of that, I can have hope today that I'll see her again. And in the hospital, I was texting her, messaging her, and I was letting her know that I love her, and I was praying for her. And the message that she sent back to me was, I'm still trusting God that he's going to heal me. the strength of even in that awful time, that she can still say, I still trust the God of the universe. I can still trust Him who saved my soul. That even though I'm hurting and I'm sick right now, even though she was at the end of her life, she still said, I'm still trusting God to make a way. And I have peace today because of that. Even though I miss her and I want her here with me bad because I loved her and I don't feel like I got enough time with her, I have peace in that. I have peace that she was in the grave, but Jesus said, you're not staying there. Sin and death and the grave don't have a hold on you because I do, because you're my child. And today she's not sick, she's not hurting, she's not having to deal with the pain of this world. She's more alive today than she ever was in her life. We have peace in that. She gave me this. She gave me this scarf that day that she'd rededicated her life to Jesus. It's her husband Bill is a part owner of the Chattanooga Football Club for soccer. And there's only 50 of these scarves made. And she gave it to me. And I was going through a dark time. And the message on it, you can't see it, but it says, always forward. Now, I'm being honest, it's been hard to walk this past month. There's been times where I didn't want to walk. I'm going to be completely honest. There's been times that I did not want to be alive this month. I will throw it all out there for you. I did not want to live this month. But it's by God keeping me walking. It's all God. It's nothing of my power on my own. I couldn't have done it. There's days I didn't want to get out of bed, but He got me out of bed. There's days I didn't want to wake up, but He woke me up. And there's days where I just wanted to sit in my mess, but He kept me moving and He kept me busy. And He kept me always forward. So even though you're hurting and even though the pain is great, I want you to know that there's a God who loves you. And there is a God right now who's hurting with you. And he doesn't hate you. He hurts to see you hurt. And He's calling for you. And there's a God who's constantly working for good, even though we can't see it at this moment. He is working for good. Because that's who He is. We may not ever see why. But I know He is working for good. And that's okay. We don't have to know why. But we have to know that He is good because He's God. And we just can keep moving forward. Now, there might be one of you here today who doesn't have that peace, who doesn't know what it's like to trust God, who doesn't know what it's like to be saved. I invite you, he plays a song of invitation after this. You can come receive that peace. That it doesn't take away the hurt of losing someone, but for some reason you can have joy in it in Jesus, knowing that this isn't the end, you'll see Him again. And I don't know why these bad things have been happening. These awful things. I don't know why we've experienced grief and loss. But I do know that we serve a good God who is leading us even now more than ever. Even though we can't see Him, even in the storm. We have a God who does not save us from the storms. But we have a God who delivers us through them. And He has a purpose for them. We just can't see it now. So I'll pray real quick to close this while He comes to get a song of invitation. So if God is speaking to you and you want to come know Him as Lord and Savior and you want to have that peace, I invite you today. Let's bow our heads. God, I thank you for the day, God. I thank you for the healing you brought to me through this message. And I just pray, God, that you take it and you heal these other people who are here that are hurting. God, there's so much hurt around us everywhere we look. But God, you're around the hurt. And God, you're in the midst of it with us. Help us know that. You're the light that shines in the darkness with us. God, thank you for loving us when we didn't deserve it. Thank you for dying for us when we didn't deserve it. Thank you for the peace we have that we'll see Renee and Donna again. We'll see Robin again. We'll see all those that we lost again, God, through you, because you overcame death, hell, and the grave for us. I pray if anyone's here today, God, that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that you just speak to their heart and they don't go home with this feeling. But God, your Spirit convicts them and lets them know that they need a Savior. God, help us glorify you in this church regardless, even though there's times we don't want to or there's times we hurt. God, help us just keep always moving forward. And God, just keep us by your side and keep holding us. Thank you for all your blessings. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.